This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
I'm walking. Yes, indeed, and I'm talking. But you and me, I'm hoping that you come back to me. I'm lonely as I can be. I'm waiting for your company. I'm hoping that you come back to me. What you gonna do when the well run dry? You gonna run away and hide? I'm gonna run right by your side. For you, pretty baby, I'll even die. I'm walking. Yes, indeed, and I'm talking.
How about Fats Domino to get you going in the morning? Hey, good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy and partner, Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us. It is Friday, July the 29th. Wow, almost at the end. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Ryan Young of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're going to talk with Ryan about how the hike in interest rates by the Federal Reserve will actually help the economy in the long run. Yeah, I guess in the short run it won't, but we'll find out. And the Biden administration quietly approves construction of additional border wall near Yuma, Arizona. What's going on there? I thought it was not another foot of wall for Biden. And he's doing it despite the administration's attack on wall building when Trump was president. So we're going to talk about that with the proprietor of the Barber Poll, Andrew Ceraci, a little bit later in the show. Please stay tuned for that. And also, we're going to take a look at the tax hike and climate change bill that may become law because the Senate may have the votes. Joe Manchin, the Democratic senator from West Virginia, you know, the guy that keeps putting his thumb in the dike to stop the onslaught of inflation with additional government spending, he may be pulling his thumb out of the dike for this one. So we're going to take a look at that. And in our ultimate top 10, we got a good one. How about the top 10 best U.S. vice presidents. Ed will decide in what position Kamala Harris would fall in that top 10. So we'll find out about that a little bit later in the show. Now, how about this? This turnabout is fair play. Washington, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser, asking the National Guard to please mobilize an effort to deal with the migrants that are coming in. Oh, that's so terrible. All of these migrants are being bussed in from Texas.
I don't understand. I thought the Biden administration said the border is under control. We don't have that problem. If we don't have that problem, why are they all showing up at this?
I don't understand it either. I cannot figure this out. But she's very upset. Now, she has championed accepting immigrants, illegal immigrants, into the country. So she's all for that. I would think she'd be happy. Wouldn't she open up the mayor's mansion to them? I think they ought to stop right at the curbside and go in.
I'd prefer 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Well, that's another place they could stop. But she championed migrants illegally coming into the country as a human rights issue. She now requests that the National Guard be activated indefinitely. So there we go. She has asked that the D.C. Armory be used as a processing place and that National Guard resources be used to help field migrants as they arrive by bus. I think they're delighted to come. First of all, I think that they deserve to have, and maybe she could conduct it, a tour of the Washington, D.C. historical places and monuments. Can't she not find time to acquaint these new immigrants with our culture?
It's my understanding they're infiltrating the homeless shelters, which is...
Yeah.
Sending them all out of whack.
I think that's probably right. Now, these migrants, by the busload, have been sent by Governors Greg Abbott of Texas and Doug Ducey of Arizona, probably the two biggest states that have all of these illegals coming through. As a political statement, over Biden's handling of the whole border wall issue. We're going to talk a little bit later about this Yuma, Arizona area where the Biden administration is actually constructing wall. There are gaps in that area. Now, Bowser, the mayor of D.C., has vocally complained about the migrant surge in her city. She claims that these illegal immigrants are being tricked into coming to Washington, D.C. Why? When they get on the bus, is he saying, okay, next stop is...
Disneyland.
Is Disneyland in Anaheim, California. Get your Mouseketeer ears out. I don't think so.
So what are we saying? That the migrants are now picky as to where they're being dumped?
Exactly. They're getting a free bus trip. What are they complaining about? They get a chance to see the country, don't they? That's a long drive.
Jeez, now they're picky.
It's a long drive from Texas and Arizona to Washington, D.C.
It used to be a challenge.
What the heck are they complaining about?
It used to be a challenge just to get in. Now they're picky about where they're being put.
Quote, we don't see anybody from Mayor Bowser's office here, said a volunteer, as these people are coming off the bus. Why isn't there somebody to greet them from the mayor's office?
A little welcome basket.
We don't see anybody from the Office of Latino Affairs here. I mean, this is really, this is such a, it's called the perfect squelch, the perfect comeuppance, isn't it?
You should have a little welcome basket, you know, some perfume, soap, you know.
Exactly. It's canned, like when you go into a new, yeah.
A little canned ham or something.
Yeah. As you cross the border, you know how you have a visitor's information center and stuff like that?
I mean, if they come into Florida.
They should have a visitor's information center.
They come to Florida to get oranges or something, right?
Yes.
So what do you get in D.C., a gun?
Well, that's one thing you need when you're walking down the street there. Yeah, unfortunately. It's a dangerous city. It really is. That's, you know, all of these cities, and that's a very sad statement on what's going on in all of these Democratic-controlled cities. They're all dangerous, and at night, you just don't dare walk down the street. So anyway, Bowser appeared on CBS's Face the Nation Sunday to discuss, as you said, Ed, the persistent homelessness problem that plagues D.C. So I guess they think that this will add to it. Well, that's too bad. That's what I got to say about that. I mean, you're the one that pushes for the open borders, except it's not in my backyard, right?
No, we don't have a problem at the border. These people are not getting through. I don't. She must be making these... It must be making these people up in her brain.
I think so.
They're not getting through, according to the Biden administration.
Yeah, these are just tourists coming from different parts of the country, that's all.
They come in, they shop, they buy a few things, and they go home.
And they go home, yeah. All right. Well, let's do this. We're going to take our break. And when we come back, Ryan Young from the Competitive Enterprise Institute is going to be here. We're going to talk about the interest rate hike by the Fed and whether or not it's going to help us.
For the sunshine sky, and there's a reason why I'm feeling so high. Must be the season when that little light shines all around us.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Freedom Works on a Friday. Thank you so very much for being with us. And we are delighted to have back an old friend from the Competitive Enterprise Institute, Ryan Young. He's a senior fellow at CEI. He focuses on things like regulatory reform and trade policy and antitrust regulation and the Fed. We got quite an interesting story today because of the Fed's interest rate hike, a 0.75 percentage point hike, Ryan, and that's typically a pretty big one. You say that in the long run, this hike is going to do some good. Tell us a little bit about your thinking on that.
It is going to do some good, but only a small amount. They need to keep increasing the rate. If the headline inflation rate is 9% and the federal funds rate is about 2%, that's not a very good match. So people are thinking the rate's going up and up and up. What it needs to be isn't at this or that level so much as it needs to match the inflation rate. So right now it's still a very expansionary monetary policy, at least as far as the federal funds rate is concerned. So they have more to do, but they're starting to do the right thing.
Right.
Being cautious about it because they don't want to cause a recession.
Now, the former Fed chairman and now Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen said yesterday that our economy, I love this, our economy is doing okay. It's in a state of transition. It's not in a recession. Now, we've had two consecutive quarters of negative growth. Ryan, are we in a recession or not?
I'm not sure. The National Bureau of Economic Research is the arbiter of that, but when it comes down to it, that's all word games, and I don't care what the decision is. Whatever they decide, we're still facing the same economic problems. Inflation is still too high. Spending and deficits are still too high. The labor market remains strong. So there's some mixed signals going on, but we do have some problems, and we have some idea how to fix them.
Yeah.
Inflation, the Fed needs to tamp down the money supply to get it better in sync with real output. The whole reason we have this inflation in the first place is because the Fed over-responded to COVID. They grew the money supply by a third in response in an effort to stimulate an economy that was shutting down. Over that same time, money supply up by a third, real output only up by about 4%. When you get that kind of mismatch, you have a change in the exchange rate between money and real stuff. That's what inflation is. As soon as the Fed gets better at playing that matching game, getting the money supply back in sync with what real output is doing, inflation would come back to earth. And that's what they're starting to do slowly right now.
I have a thing about this Biden administration touting how people are coming, you know, about the great employment numbers. And I'm thinking, well, that's just people. Aren't these people coming back to work from the COVID and also having to take maybe second jobs because of the rise in inflation? Can they really claim credit for increasing employment?
No, not in the way they'd like to. You don't have a lot of people taking second jobs. I think that number is still under 3%, so we're not seeing a big increase.
Okay, they have talked about the fact that some people need to do that, but I'm wondering about that myself. But they have to cut back, don't they, on their spending somehow?
Yeah, and that's going to affect real output, not just inflation. But one thing I'm more concerned about is the labor force participation rate. That has been trending down for a long time. When COVID hit, it was about 63.3% of working-age adults in the workforce. Even now, after the COVID dip and then the recovery, things are more or less back where they were even after yesterday's GDP numbers. We're roughly back where we would have been had COVID never happened. Unemployment, the labor force participation rate, still down. It went from 63% to 62%. So that's
And really?
Given the size of the labor force, that's almost
We've actually lost
work.
We've lost people.
That's right. The labor force is down about 2 million people from where it was, and that's not counted in the unemployment rate because that only counts people who are actively looking for work.
Yeah,
about 2 million people not looking. So there is that.
So getting back to the tightening, when you raise interest rates, people borrow less. It'll affect the obviously the home industry. It'll probably affect the car industry when people need to borrow money for a car, to buy a new car. This means that people will be spending less. If they spend less, that's fewer dollars chasing goods, which will lower inflation, technically. So the idea here is they're trying to lower inflation, but they don't want to fall into the recession pit, which I think a lot of people would say we've fallen into. So they're doing a balancing act. And I guess I don't know what my question really is, but here's one for it. I often wonder if we would be better off without a Federal Reserve and without people trying to basically, the word manipulate comes to mind. They're manipulating the spending behavior of people when they do this. Ryan, your thought on that?
That's an open question and a good one. I mean, the Federal Reserve is vulnerable to politicization. They do have tools to manipulate the money supply. But on the other hand, sometimes they really make a mess of it. They did a great job back in the 90s for about 20 years, and now they're really making a hash of it. There are ways to improve it that I'm happy to go into some other time. But as far as the interest rate goes, that only affects the money supply indirectly. The Fed has three tools, and the interest rate is actually the weakest one by a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So it gets a lot of press, but it's not going to do that much for the inflation rate. It's going to affect prices on a certain range of loans and bonds and that sort of thing, which will have some trickle-down effects on mortgages and cars. But we're talking pennies on the dollar. And it's not going to affect the money supply itself so much as the velocity of money, how fast, you know, $1 gets spent. I get money from my paycheck, I spend that on something, the store spends that on something, and so on down the line. When they raise interest rates, the goal is to slow that down just a little bit. That has the same effect as having fewer dollars in circulation.
Right.
It's an indirect method, and its effects are relatively small. So if people are freaking out about the increases, they shouldn't be. And considering how far behind it is compared to the actual inflation rate, I'd argue the interest rate is still far too low and the Fed needs to be more aggressive to get it back in line.
We're talking with Ryan Young. He's a senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, and he knows things in the regulatory reform area, trade policy area. He focuses on those things, antitrust legislation. So you're talking like we need to, how much further does the Fed need to go in raising interest rates, Ryan?
Well, inflation's at 9% right now. It's probably going to come down to 7 or 8 in the coming months. It needs to get closer to that level, 5% at a minimum.
5%. Wow.
Yeah, well, back in the 70s, inflation was up to 15, and they had the interest rate at closer to 20.
Do you think that this particular Fed chairman will be aggressive enough to do that?
No, he wants to do the right thing. He knows what the right thing is. But he has other goals in mind, such as avoiding a recession that's going to moderate his response. So he knows what to do, but he feels constrained about how far he can go about actually doing it.
All right, so that leads me to this question. And I know you don't have a crystal ball, but just pretend you do. How long do you think we're going to be in this problem? When are we going to get out of it? Will we get out of it during this administration, in your opinion? Or is it going to take another administration, a Republican administration, perhaps, to get us back to, let's say, the way it was before Biden took office?
I think inflation is going to stay high through this year, and it's going to start coming down next year in 2023. And Congress and the president, frankly, don't have a lot to do with it. Despite the inflation bill that they're working on now, despite the CHIPS Act bill and everything else that they've done, they don't control the money supply. The Federal Reserve does. So if you want to see what's going on with inflation, look at the Fed. Don't look at the Republicans and the Democrats. Look at the Fed. And they're starting to do the right thing.
And they're starting to do the right thing. Okay. What about this tax hike and climate change bill that the Senate and the Democrats in the Senate appear maybe close to passing. Have you looked at that? Is that going to be any good? Should Congress do anything while we're in a situation like this when it comes to spending people's money?
No, I've looked at that bill, and it's not going to be any good. It has a mix of medicine and then sugar to help the medicine go down. Over an eight-year period, they front-loaded all the sugar. So the first 4 years of the bill, it's actually going to increase spending and increase the deficit. All the other stuff to cut the deficit and cut spending, that's backloaded until 2027. And it's not going to have any effect this year. Inflation is going to come down on its own starting next year. So the bill is going to do nothing. In the long run, it's going to do harm, because by the time the sugar's gone and the real medicine starts, Congress is going to pass some other bill to counteract.
Of course. And a lot of those people in Congress might not even be around. And they don't have to worry about it. The back end. That's another thing about back ending it. I'm sorry?
No, Congress has a much shorter time horizon than the private sector, that's for sure.
Yeah, indeed. What about the way Biden talks about the Fed's so-called independence? Oh no, we're not gonna tinker with that. But come on, this is a guy that they put in there. I mean, you get the impression that they're talking to each other all the time.
They communicate, and there are varying levels of interference. The previous administration was quite open about trying to tell the Fed what to do, and then there are precedents with LBJ and Nixon, so Biden's being in close contact is nothing new, and if he applies pressure...
Of course.
That's also nothing. It's also nothing new.
And, no, but they made a point of talking about the independence of the Fed. I mean, just like you said, all of them have been, getting their fingers into the office to talk to the guy.
Yeah, so it's how much spine does Powell have? It's not a question of the Fed's institutional structure. It's a matter of personality, and that's a risk.
Yeah. So in the meantime, the Biden administration continues to say, if we look at numbers from a certain angle, we're not really in a recession because of the jobs that are being created. So apparently, if the jobs didn't come out as being created, then would they admit that we are in a recession? And like you said, it doesn't make any difference to the average Joe that's going into the grocery store or going to the gas pump. So you're right about that. But I guess maybe to some elites, it's important one way or the other, whether we're in a recession or not.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's a word game. The NBER, which makes that decision, looks at six different factors, and they're mixed. When they, whatever decision they make, which is going to be weeks or even a couple months from now, who knows what it's going to be. But the psychological effects and the political effects are what matters. People hear that R word. It's the same situation, whether they not to hear that R word, that's going to make a difference in voters' minds. That's when people care. As someone who's actually interested in fixing the problem and doing good, I don't care. The problems we face are the exact same, whatever they decide.
Yeah. Well, we're all going to hope. It's kind of a rough time right now, Ryan, and it's always a pleasure, though, to have you on to kind of dissect it. And thank you so very much. As usual, look forward to talking with you again down the road.
Well, likewise. Thank you so much.
All right, sir. Ryan Young, Competitive Enterprise Institute. We are going to take our break, and when we come back, the Biden administration quietly... Very quietly approving construction of additional border wall near Yuma, Arizona. I thought they weren't going to do any of that. We're going to talk with the proprietor of the barber pole all about it, Andrew Ceresi. On the cloud of sun, I drink in the night. Any place it goes is right. Goes far, flies near. Put his claws away from here. Well, you don't know what we can find. Why don't you come with me, little girl? This is the Tantalk Radio Network. Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
What's the buzz in Tampa Bay? Senior Voice America Radio, a unique morning variety program delivering the latest commentary on politics by host and political analyst Tim Bryce and the up-to-minute happenings of Wall Street by co-host and financial veteran Berkley Badger. Beyond politics and finance, they scale the scholar's rampart by including topics on religion and nutrition with thought-provoking guests and interviews. Tune in every weekday from 8 to 10 a.m. on this Tan Talk station. Senior Voice America, serving our nation's seasoned citizens for over four decades.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. I like that kind of music, by the way. It makes me want to get up and march. And it also reminds me, Ed, did you watch or hear about the congressional baseball game that they played last night? Apparently, this is the 87th installment of this game. It's been going on for 87 years, and the Republicans won the game 10 to nothing.
So they're like 10th in a row, I think.
Yeah. Well, it says here, earning back-to-back victories and improving their record in the classic game. Listen to this. It started in 1909. It's now 44 Republicans, yeah. 42 Democrats, and one tie.
1909, I think Pelosi threw out the first pitch.
She did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, she did.
That was the tragically, the 5 years ago when that nut job went and shot up the senators that were out there.
That's right. And he seriously wounded a Republican congressman. Uh-huh. Yeah. That's right. House Speaker, speaking of her, Pelosi, was, God forbid, she was the coach for the Democratic team. No wonder they lost 10 to nothing. What do they have that idiot coaching the team for? She doesn't know anything. I didn't see the game. I'd love to see her trying to run around the bases. That would be interesting.
Oh, God, we didn't get that kind of time. Imagine her running around trying to keep her teeth in.
Well, yeah, you know, if she did a head first slide, the only thing that would be left on the bag would be the teeth.
Well, the teeth would beat her. Teeth would beat her body to the bag.
If the teeth beat her body to the bag, does that mean she's safe?
Yeah, any part of the body.
Any part of the body, no matter if it's connected or not.
No.
All right. Well, in the meantime, the Biden administration. You remember? Here's a quote from the Biden administration at one time. Quote: "Not another foot." And that was in relation to building any more border wall. Those were the words of Biden during his 2020 presidential campaign. Well, now, as quietly as possible, they're down in Yuma, Arizona, and they're building wall. They're building wall between different gaps. And Yuma, Arizona is a huge entry point for illegals. So we got Andrew with us, the master barber. Andrew, what's Biden and his group doing all of a sudden, getting on Trump's side of the philosophy about border wall?
Maybe they're trying to save face, Paul.
I think you're right.
Either that or they're tired of him being shipped up to Washington.
That's right. Mayor Bowser, I guess she was getting tired of having a welcoming committee as all these buses were coming into the city.
It's the best thing that could happen to them, Paul. You know, they caused all this problem. They thought the people were just going to put up with it. Ship them all up there.
Now, didn't
the train should be long enough. They could all keep walking right up there.
Hey, why don't they use, speaking of the train, could they use an Amtrak train to get more people there quicker?
You get more people. Load that sucker up.
Hey,
drop them right off.
Ron DeSantis, you know, they talk about the governors of Texas and Arizona shipping them up there. Didn't Florida Governor DeSantis, did he not ship some of them up to...
I believe he did.
I know he shipped some, somewhere.
Yeah, he did.
Ed, do you remember about that? Did he?
I think he threatened to.
Oh.
Planes or anything like that. Wasn't he going to
So he might not have really
seized the planes or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. Kind of deterred them from coming out here.
Well, Yuma's border sector in Arizona remains an unsolved issue for Biden and company. Border Patrol agents have already stopped migrants more than 160,000 times since January through June. Think about that. Do you know how many people have come into this country illegally since Biden took office?
Over a million.
Yes. Over a million.
I thought it's pushing close to two.
It might be. That because they don't really know.
Right.
I mean, we don't know. It's got to be more than we think it is because we know it's over a million, right? Well, if we know that, and we know that we don't know how many more have come in, you're right, it could be 2 million.
I saw them stop one of those King Cab pickup trucks. Got the front, and then you got that small back area. And they jammed, no kidding, they jammed 20 people into this thing. 20. So if that truck were to get by, Border Patrol could have said, oh, well, you know, about six or eight people probably got by on that. Well, then you figured there was really 20 in there, so it's almost double what you think got through.
Right. I'm thinking about all the people that have died being cramped into these trucks.
Yeah.
I mean, that's another horrible thing. Apparently, it doesn't bother the Democrats all that much. Like the drugs crossing over this border. Andrew, they're hypocrites in Washington.
You think?
Absolutely.
You know, Paul, the country is in dire straits right now. I was listening to the show with this gentleman you had speaking, and to me, he made it sound like the economy, they're making the right moves, and the interest rates going up. I'm a little curious how the interest rates going up are helping the economy, because I have a bunch of builders and realtors that come into my shop, and I cut their hair, and they were telling me since the interest rates ran up, their businesses are dead.
Of course, and that's right. And you're referring to Ryan Young from the Competitive Enterprise Institute.
Yeah,
he seems to be a proponent of cutting back on work effort. I got that impression as well. Now, they're trying to bring down the price of goods. And they bring down the price of goods when fewer people go out to purchase the goods. That is our law of economics. But in the meantime, all the people that are in the businesses, construction, are sitting back and waiting.
That's right. Paul, it's a vicious circle, Paul. I can tell you right now, this economy's in the tank. We are in a recession. I see it every day in my business. Every day. It's like I told you. When retired people are telling me, Andrew, I need to go back to work.
They're on fixed incomes, right? A lot of them.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So I don't know where this guy's coming from.
Right.
I don't think
he's coming from the wrong side.
I don't think we've seen the worst of it yet. I'm telling you.
We're not even close.
I think these people that are putting gas in their boats every weekend and having a ball and still buying gas. Now, gas has gone down because the demand has gone down. Now it's starting to hit people. As I said, they had their stimulus checks in the bank that they've been using, and they've been running up the credit cards. And eventually they're going to have to pay those, and then all of a sudden, they're going to be like, whoa, how did we get in debt?
Yeah, and credit card debt is enormously...
Oh, it's going to be huge.
It's going to be even worse, yeah.
Yeah, and like I said, now the gas prices are coming down because the demand is coming down because it's starting to hit them. The gas prices from a month ago are starting to hit them, believe it or not.
Yeah.
That's when they get their credit card statements.
Andrew,
you don't feel it when you put it on a card.
Right, you are. Andrew, I brought up the fact that I don't think that the Federal Reserve is necessarily a good thing anyway. You know, Ron Paul, libertarian Ron Paul, Rand Paul, his son, Rand Paul, well, both of them, never thought much of the Fed to begin with. They would just soon not have it. And just as soon have people make their own decisions when it comes to buying and spending. Go ahead.
It's like people don't realize the Federal Reserve is its own entity. It's got nothing to do with the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
It's a private bank.
Right. It's a quasi-private bank. I mean, the government, as in the executive branch, appoints the chairman But it supposedly operates independently, correct?
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. And apparently, I don't think any of them know what's going on. And this economy is on the verge of a collapse.
It's a very, very scary.
Scary.
I know.
I hear it every day. We got to see what happens with these midterm elections. We got to get the right people in there. So make sure you vote wisely. Research your candidates. Don't be ignorant to the ones that are running. You need to research every one of them and see what they stand for.
Nancy Pelosi is thinking about going. She's going to go on a some sort of Far Eastern trip.
Good.
Yes. And one of the things she's considering is going to Taiwan.
Of course.
I would salute her if she did go to Taiwan. I mean, I'm thinking she probably will not. But what do you think about, let's put it this way, scratching the back of the bear and going to Taiwan, getting the bear a little bit angry over there, China?
Well, she's going to get the bear a little bit angry, but that's not why I think she's going there. I think she's going there to see what company's opening up another factory so her husband can invest in it.
I think you mentioned that before. That may be very true.
And I believe it.
Yeah, and now that I think about it. So do you think she'll go and really go to Taiwan?
I wish she would.
Okay.
I don't think she does.
She would, and I hope they do like they did to the basketball player there. Arrest her for her teeth falling on the floor or something and polluting. I don't know.
Yeah, let's plant some drugs on her.
Oh, that's funny.
I don't think she goes. I think there's because of either an illness or COVID or something.
Oh, you don't think she'll even go on the trip anywhere?
I don't think. I think
because she was going to go to Japan.
You can't go to half of them or any of them and then not go there. But if you cancel the whole thing because of something, then you have an easy way out. But you can't just pick and choose where you go.
I think she ought to go to North Korea.
Maybe she's looking to bring the ease back to stop the, you know, or to help out in the elections in November. They got to have some kind of pandemic. The monkeypox isn't flying over too good.
I see that, speaking about all of this craziness, Hunter Biden. It sounds like the jaws are closing in on him a little bit more. All of a sudden, more and more detail has come out, particularly, I think, from the New York Post, about all of these meetings with all of these people that Hunter Biden was befriending and these different companies in Russia and in China and in, Kazakhstan and in the Mideast. It's kind of like all of a sudden, I wonder if the Democrats are starting to, I don't know, maybe that this is a way of getting rid of a guy they don't want in the office. What do you think, Andrew?
Paul, nothing going to happen anywhere. It's nothing. They can talk about Hunter all they want.
They're not going to indict him?
The conservatives get all excited. Something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. Then they say, see, we got you.
So they're not going to indict him?
No.
Okay.
He's not a Republican. He's not a Trump person.
Yeah.
It ain't going to happen.
There is something fishy about not having indicted him yet. Because if anybody needs to be indicted, it's him.
And the FBI can't find his laptop. They forgot where they put it.
Yes.
I mean, come on. And nothing's going to happen. You know, he's just a topic of conversation.
And the FBI's in on it.
Of course.
You know, that's very sad. It's very scary. Used to be we would think of the FBI as really resolute, integrity. I tell you, things are really bad when it comes
to... Well, our government is not for the people. Our government is for the elites and for the politicians.
Yeah.
It is not for the people of this country, Paul. You know, Trump drained the swamp just enough so we could see all the creatures underneath it, but he just couldn't get rid of them all, and hopefully this next election will help.
Yeah.
The only thing is I see him putting a couple people into the swamp, which bothers me.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, look, we're not never going to, there's no politician that we will agree with 100%. And he has picked some people that you wonder about. And, of course, he does. When it comes to Republican picks, he's usually picking because somebody else that's a Republican may have offended him. So he's picking somebody else, right?
I don't know what he's doing, but we're going to find out. But I still believe that he's the one, the only one that can bring this country back together.
Right.
To be elected.
Here in the 13th Congressional District, we talk a lot about it because that's the district we're in. And it's the district that Charlie Crist, currently the congressman here, is going to vacate as he decides to run against the governor, Ron DeSantis. And so on the Republican side, we've got quite a race. And we've got, I would say, three people, you know, that are actually have a chance, right? We have two women, and we have our buddy that we've had on, you know, now quite a few times, Kevin Hazlett. What do you think? I'm getting a lot. I must say this. Maybe you are too, Andrew. I'm getting a lot of these mail flyers on this.
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, Paul, you know, it's very simple. Charlie Crist was a Democrat. I believe Anna Paulina is a Republican. Amanda Mackey, it would be good if Kevin wasn't running.
Okay, you like Amanda Mackey.
No, I like Kevin.
Well, I know you like Kevin.
I do like Amanda Mackey.
Yeah.
I mean, if Kevin wasn't running, I believe Kevin is really the one for the job.
Okay.
And I believe Amanda is behind him. Anna Luna shouldn't even be in the race.
So, do you think it's going to be a close race? It's going to be August the 23rd.
I can tell you this. They had the Community Patriots meeting Tuesday night. And there were 200 people there, and they did a straw poll for the candidate for District 13. Kevin Hazlett got 49%. Amanda Mackey got 26%. And Anna Paulina Luna got 18%.
Really?
Christine Quinn was at 9%.
Okay. Well, that bodes well for Kevin.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
I'm saying that things are going good. See, Trump endorsed Anna before Kevin was even in the race.
Trump right.
Jumped the gun, number one. He should have sat back. But instead, he jumped the gun, and he endorsed somebody that, and she may as well put AOC in there, because he's going to be the same thing. I believe she'll be part of the squad.
I would think that Trump would realize that and not endorse her if that was the case.
Well, I think he should actually pull his endorsement back, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's going to try and save his face no matter what.
Yeah.
And he really didn't push her when he was in Tampa last week. All he did was say, our next congressional 13, congressional Anna Paulina. And he dropped it at that.
Is that right? Oh, you might be right.
So I think he's pushing back. He's not pushing. Listen, when Trump wants somebody, he pushes and pushes their name. He hasn't pushed it.
He's very vocal usually.
And then I'm still waiting to see now what the governor's going to do. If the governor is going to even endorse anybody or not.
Yeah.
If he does, the smartest move he could make would be endorsing Kevin Hazlett.
I think a smarter move is not to endorse, but we'll see.
Yeah.
We will see.
Because that could cause havoc, too, with Trump. So we don't know.
I know, exactly. It's always a pleasure, my friend, to have you on. Thank you so much, Andrew. I look forward to talking with you and your brother on Monday.
All right, buddy. Have a good week.
All right, the same to you.
Bye.
There he goes. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, we're going to take a look at the tax hike and climate change bill that may become law.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Thank you so very much for listening to us. By the way, Freedom Works comes to you Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tan Talk Radio Network. And we always appreciate it when you listen to us. You can go to the website, listen live to it. However, you can also go to our website, and you can listen to our program anytime you'd like, thanks to Big Ed, because he puts all our shows on podcast. And, you know, it's like, what is it when they construct a huge new building and then they bury stuff to be opened in 100 years? Well, this is that's like our podcasts. This great wealth of knowledge will be open to people in 100 years. They can listen to these programs and realize how much we knew on this program. So go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on the podcast button, and you can listen even before 100 years from now to the pearls of wisdom. All right. So Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is giddy with delight, because he's got Senator Joe Manchin on board, and he announced yesterday an agreement on this reconciliation package. Now they got something to see they can talk about. With $433 billion, with a B, in spending, this package actually spends less than one-sixth of the $3 trillion they were talking about last year. So Manchin's now on board. And of course, Schumer is making a big deal out of it. It's called the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022. It's not going to reduce inflation. That's a misnomer. Anytime you get the government involved in spending your money, that means more dollars are going into the, are going out. You're going to have inflation. So I don't know why they even try to they have some nerve. That's really chutzpah. But they say it will make a historic down payment on deficit reduction. It will not. It says the bill will finally allow Medicare to negotiate for prescription drugs and lower health care costs. Let me tell you something. The only way you're going to really get health care costs down is to take it out of the clutches of the government and put it 100% in the private sector without the interference or middleman of the government. There is no way prices go down when you put government officials in the middle of the person that needs the health care and the doctor or the hospital that administers the health care. And that's just plain simple economics. Economics 101. Where is Kyrsten Sinema on this, I would like to know. Maybe she can put her finger in the dike and stop this bill from being passed. All right. Before we get to our top 10, we have a good one. Ed, we're going into the weekend, and we had that wonderful baseball game. I guess it was played in Washington there at Washington Nationals Park. But now the real games are coming back into the stadiums again. Our beloved Tampa Bay Rays, are they still kind of slogging along, as it were?
Yeah, they're slogging. That's a pretty good word. That describes them. They lost 3 out of 4 to Baltimore. Now they're home against the Guardians.
The Guardians.
Let's just call them the Indians. I don't care.
Oh, that's right. I was trying to remember who it was. The Cleveland Guardians.
I don't care who gets upset if I call them Cleveland Indians. No, they're the Guardians. I'm just going to say the Indians. I don't care.
Yeah.
Who can offend?
Do you still
really
say Washington Redskins?
I do.
Okay.
The Redskins. I don't care.
Yeah. All right. I don't blame you.
So anyway.
Fair enough. So we'll slog a little bit longer. All right. All right, and it's time for our top 10, and we have a great one here, the top 10 best vice presidents. Somebody once said, a politician once said, the vice presidential job is nothing but a bucket of warm spit.
It's like the assistant bus driver.
Yeah, that sits in the back of the bus.
Yeah.
Near the emergency door.
Yeah.
Okay. So these are the top 10 best vice presidents as decided by Ranker.com. Now, Ranker.com allows people to vote on it, okay? They allow people to vote on it. It's an online, internet kind of deals. So for what it's worth, here we go. Number 10, Walter Mondale. Walter Mondale was the 42nd vice president. He served under Jimmy Carter from 1977 to 1981, and he was a Democrat. And Carter,
I think he would have been a better president than Carter.
Well, I was going to say Carter would make any vice president look good based on his performance back then. Number 9, Lyndon Johnson. Mm. Lyndon Johnson was JFK's vice president from 1961 to 1963, and of course he took over in 1963 on Kennedy's assassination. Number 8, aha, Joe Biden.
Oh, God.
Can you believe it? He made the top 10. I can't believe this. Joe Biden, he was the 47th vice president under Barack Obama from 2009 to 2017. Well, he was a better vice president than he is a president.
Well, because back then his opinion didn't matter.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah, you're right. Number 7, Gerald Ford. Gerald Ford was the 40th vice president under Richard Nixon for 1 year, from 1973 to 1974, when Nixon resigned. All right, number 6, Calvin Coolidge. Calvin Coolidge, Silent Cal. He became president, but he was the 29th vice president under Warren Harding between 1921 and 1923. Number 5, George H.W. Bush. Now, that was Reagan's vice president. He was the 43rd VP, and he served from 1981 to 1989. He served all 8 years as vice president to Reagan.
And I remember you thought 8 years under Reagan would have made him a great president, you know, because just to watch and learn those 8 years, and it just didn't pan out.
No, well, he served as president for four years.
He did, but...
But remember, he's the one that said, read my lips.
Yeah.
No new taxes.
Yeah.
And he never... They never forgave him, apparently, for that. All right, number 4. Harry Truman. Harry Truman was the 34th vice president under Franklin Roosevelt. Roosevelt died in 1945 as president. Harry Truman took over, and he won a term after that as president. Number 3, John Adams. He was the first vice president, Ed, under George Washington. He served from 1789 to 1797. It was the Federalist Party at that time. Number 2, Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson was the second vice president. He was under President Adams, John Adams, 1797 to 1801. It was called the Democratic-Republican Party. It didn't know which one it was back then, okay? All right, Ed, do you care to even try to guess who the vice president was?
I know it's not Kamala, because we'd be in the other end. We'd be the worst.
Yes.
And if you say Al Gore, I'm leaving.
Well, here we go. Are you ready? Should you get your hat? No, you shouldn't. It's Teddy Roosevelt.
Right.
Teddy Roosevelt was the 25th vice president under William McKinley. William McKinley died in office. He was assassinated, if I remember correctly. And in 1901, Teddy Roosevelt took over for him. And he was a Republican.
I'm just glad it wasn't Al Gore. I mean, that man's like a rash that just doesn't go away.
I know. And he's still around, and he's still got a scratch.
Shut up.
All right. Thank you so much. We will be back on Monday. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. Please remember that freedom works.